Genesis chapter 11. And this is titled The Tower of Babel. And we've been going through this series for quite some weeks now. And you are going to have one more sermon next week on Genesis 11. And then we're going to move on from the book of Genesis. And so I hope that you've experienced a great blessing in this series. And you've learned quite a bit about creation and everything else in between that we've studied the last several months. So I'm going to read to you one through nine this morning out of Genesis chapter 11. Follow along with me as I read. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Now just so you know, the plain of Shinar would be in modern-day Iraq, is where the location we're talking about in the world. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's by your Spirit alone that your word is delivered to us. Lord, may you bless that word upon us today. May you open the ears, hearts, and minds of those that receive your teaching this morning. Lord, I pray that these words are yours and never mine, and may you fill me with that same Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. I promised you some pictures this morning of the Tower of Babel, and one of our own members of our congregation took these, and I want to share them with you this morning. And so here's the first picture I want to share with you this morning. So this is believed to be one of the ruins, the site of the Tower of Babel, which would have been the country or the plain of Shinar, which is modern-day Iraq. And so this was taken in 2006 by Chris Oy, who served in the Marines, who spent 2 years in Iraq. And so he took these pictures and he shared them with me. And as we began this series several months ago, he said, "Hey, if you ever get to this time, I got some stuff I want to share with you." And I said, "That would be great." So I want to share them with you this morning. So this is believed to be the ruins of the Tower of Babel. And so you can see it off in the distance there. And I have seven pictures in total. This would have been Chris's squad that he served with. And I also will tell you this morning, and here's a picture of Chris there. Chris said that when they entered this site, they felt the presence of God. It was like holy a ground they were on. They felt peace. They didn't feel like they were going to be threatened or under attack. And I remember him telling to me that they even removed some of their gear as they studied this piece of history, biblical history, when he served over there in Iraq. And so here's another picture of Chris standing before the tower, and a couple more as well that I want to share with you this morning. You can see the bricks and the mortar that were there. Of course, we know that that's been several thousand years ago that this was built. And so moving on from there, if the flood occurred at roughly 2348 B.C., this would mean that the Tower of Babel event that we talk about in Genesis 11 occurred around 2240 B.C., or about 100 years after the flood. That's the stage that we're in right now for biblical history, if you want to know what that's about and what time frame we're looking at. Also, then based on the family list in Genesis 10, which we discussed last week, Bible scholars believe that there would have been roughly about 1,000 people coming. So Noah and his three sons came off the ark. They started to repopulate the earth. 100 years after the ark would have landed on dry ground, there roughly would have been about 1,000 people that would have been around the day of this event, or the Tower of Babel when they built this. So I can compare this to the city of Larchwood. Larchwood has about 950 people that live in that town. Inwood's about 800. But about the size of the city of Larchwood, about how many people were upon the earth at the time of this event. And so keep that in mind as we go through this morning. But here's what I want you to know this morning about this event. What happened at Babel must have been very wicked, because once again, God stepped into history and he changed things in a drastic way. The flood changed things in a drastic way. God stepped into history and said, this is not how I want evil to go. This is not how I want my people to live. And he made some changes to the world that you and I live in. We see this again in the Tower of Babel. Now, we don't know for sure what all went on, but we have some idea, and I'll share some of those things with you as we go through this message this morning. Now, I want you to think back to chapter 9. This would have been probably 3, 4, 5 weeks ago we went through this series. He would have gave the same command to Adam and Eve. He said to them, be fruitful and populate the earth. Have children. Raise families. Scatter all over my creation. Move about the earth. But the time of Babel, people decided that they didn't want to be dispersed. They didn't want to live all over the earth. In fact, they came together as the people and they began to rebel against God. And they even decided that, you know what? Why do we have to listen to this God? We can make a name for ourselves and we can be our own people. 100 years after the flood occurred. In fact, Genesis 11 verse 4 says, let's make a name for ourselves. How quickly they forgot about the flood judgment. Just 100 years earlier. I'm sure there was discussion about it yet. All the things that went on because of the flood. Noah still would have been around yet. And so we see these things take place. And how quickly pride entered their lives once again. Now you might be thinking this morning, what is wrong with these people? Right? 100 years goes by and they forget the flood and what God had done. And so let me ask you some questions this morning. I want you to ask yourself this. In your walk with God, how often do you defy God's orders? Or you don't even ask him for direction in a matter in your life? Or how quickly do you and I forget events in our past where God is trying to guide us, or maybe you refuse to listen? Nope, God, I'm not going to go there. No, God, I'm not going to talk to that person. No, God, that's not what I want for my life. How have you ever found yourself there? That's what I want you to think about this morning. I think this happens a lot more than you and I would care to admit. We are no different today than the people that lived in the time of the Tower of Babel event. But thankfully, by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, God continues to work in our lives even when we rebel or we refuse. Now, isn't that a great thing, right? That God continues to walk with us. God continues to watch over us. God continues to direct and guide our lives. Even when you get off course, God corrects if you're truly following him. And I'm not calling you to be perfect. I'm not calling you to be sinless, because you can't. But God continues to work in your life. But how often do you choose to follow your own way? How often does that happen in life? I have a little story for you this morning. This picture probably brings back memories, right, of the joyous times of this past winter. And maybe some of you like snow. I don't mind the first inch, and then I'm done with it for the winter. But I want you to think of, I have a story this morning here. I want you to think about following your own way. And so, one cold, snowy night, this teenager got lost in a blizzard. The snow was blowing so hard, it's piling up so high, he couldn't see anything as he's driving down the road. His cell phone was dead. He couldn't call anybody for help. And so he pulled over to the side of the road. And he began to think to himself, what am I going to do? And lo and behold, a snowplow came by, and he seen the lights, and he thought to himself, oh, I remembered my dad said, if you're ever stuck in a snowstorm and you see a snowplow go by, get behind it. It'll take you where hopefully something's familiar. You can find your way back home. And so he decided to follow the snowplow, hopeful that it would lead to somewhere he recognized. And he followed that plow, which seemed like hours to him. The snowplow would turn left, he'd turn left. The snowplow would turn right, he would turn right. And it kept following, he kept following that snowplow. And pretty soon the snowfall, it stopped and the driver got out and he walked back to this kid. And the kid rolled his window down and he said, to the driver said to this young man, he says, why are you following me? And the young man said, because my dad told me that when the snowplow comes by and you can follow it to find something you recognize, maybe you'll get to where you need to be. And the snowplow said, well, great. I'm done cleaning the Walmart parking lot. Let's go to the Best Buy one now. Right? But here's what I want you to think about. In your own life, when you follow God, are you stuck in the Walmart parking lot following your own ways? That's my question for you. Because the people in the Tower of Babel, they thought that it was better to follow their own ways. Let's make a name for ourselves, right? Let's be our own God. I can make decisions for myself. I know what's best for me. See, that's what we think. And then we find ourselves stuck in the Walmart parking lot of life, following around a snowplow that goes nowhere. And that's not what God has intended for you and I. Not at all. He has so many plans for you and I in this world that we live in today. Let's move on from there. Genesis 11, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. See, you see, God saw the evil that was growing within them. He's seen that they wanted to be their own God. He's seen that they wanted to be their own people removed from him. And he knew that this would result in a chaotic, disastrous, evil mess, just like he experienced 100 years before when he sent the flood. Now, there were probably some people that didn't join in. There's some thought that the family of Shem, right, which the lineage of Jesus Christ had come from through the Old Testament, they probably more than likely possibly refused, like, hey, we're not going there. We're going to continue to serve this God that our grandfather Noah talked about. We don't know for sure, but there's probably a good chance that not everybody joined in. Some stuck to the Heavenly Father, but most did not. So what was the rebellion? Building a tower to reach the heavens so they could make a name for themselves was a rebellion. They thought to themselves, we don't need God. We got this figured out. How many of you have been there in your life? I don't need God. We can get this figured out ourselves, right? I just want to say something. In Northwest Iowa, we think we're tough and we're hardy and we pull ourselves up for our bootstraps and we're going to get things done, don't we? That's one of the worst things that you can do in life, because you're no different than the people in the Tower of Babel. Now, it doesn't mean that you go to work and you work hard. That's not at all what I'm saying. But you're missing the one key piece. God's not in the center of it. You're trying to make a name for yourself. Just like the people of the Tower of Babel. And so God said, I'm going to prevent this rebellion. I'm going to change their hearts. I'm going to push them in a different direction. And he said it in verse 7. Come, let us, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. And if you were with us last week, we talked about 70 different people groups that are believed to come out of here because of the 70 nations. And in those 70 groups were 70 different languages that God dispersed throughout the world. And here's how I want you to think about the Tower of Babel event. And you have to just listen closely here now to what I'm going to say to you this morning. The Tower of Babel event was an act of grace by God to bring his people back to him by dispersing them. They probably thought it was a curse. They probably thought, what an evil God that he did this to us. But in reality, by dispersing them and giving them different languages, he allowed them to realize that, hey, we can't do things anymore together. We need a God. And of course, you know, not everybody returned to follow God. But I imagine that some did. So God judged this rebellion by giving them their own language, which resulted in different people groups forming, which caused them to split apart. Now, here's why I want to go a little bit deeper with you this morning. I want you to think about some things that I'm going to say to you here this morning about the world that you and I live in today. As these people dispersed throughout the region, they took with them their distinct characteristics, such as skin color, hair color, eye color, and etc. These different family groups no longer freely mixed together like they would have as they lived in one city. Different cultures formed, with certain features and characteristics becoming predominant within each group. We see that in our world today, don't we? If I was to ask you what color are the eyes of most Dutch people, what would you tell me? Blue, right? Isn't that something? If I was to ask you the skin color of somebody who lived in Japan, it's different than us in America, isn't it? For we are Caucasian. We are white mostly. But yet you go to China, you see differences. You go to Asia, you see differences. You go to Europe. You go to the Middle East, you see differences. And these people groups, when God scattered them through the Tower of Babel, well, they would have become more refined and more predominant. And that's why you see people groups that are scattered throughout the world today that have different skin color, different eye color, and they become predominant for these areas. And because of those differences, we also have different cultures and we're programmed in different ways. You know that American culture is different from Japanese culture. And some of you in here, you've been to different places. Some of you have been to China and you know the different culture and the way that they live. And here's the point I want to make with you this morning. God created one race, the human race, with many differences. It's never us and them, is it? Because we are all. And if you're a Bible-believing person, and we've been studying this book of Genesis for a long time now, we are all one before God. It's never us and them. It's us together. And so we need to treat every human being as a child of God. All of us are equal in value before our Creator. Some of us are given the Spirit and eternal life, and not everyone will be given that. How many of you know of or heard of the Zac Brown Band? Anybody heard of that country? Yeah, some of you know it. Right? If you don't know it, you go home and Google it and you'll learn. All right? So here's, I'm not going to play that song for you today, but I want you to listen to that song sometime this week. And here's the name of the song I want you think about. So when you think about the Tower of Babel, and you think about what God did in that event, and then I want you to think about the Zac Brown Band. It's called, the name of the song is We're All in the Same Boat. How many of you have heard that song? We're all in the same boat, fishing in the same pond. I want you to realize that I don't care who you are. In the human race, we are all in the same boat. We are all sinners before God in need of Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That's it. That's the end of the story right there. And your need for Jesus Christ is just as much as anybody else in the world that we live in today. And here's what I want you to think about. Next week, I'm going to bring you another message on the same scriptures about the Tower of Babel. And I'm going to push that out to you in a way as, what did God want from his people the church and still comes to us yet today. How should you be if we're all in the same boat? Listen to that song this week. Maybe you can listen to it on the way home if you got Bluetooth in your car, right? And if you don't have it, just tell your kids and they'll find it for you. But that's what I want you to leave with this morning. Look at what God's doing. Go home and look at your own life. What is God doing in it? Look at what's going on up here this morning. What's God doing in the world you live in? Right? He's still very active. He's still very alive. Things are still changing. And they'll continue to change till Jesus Christ returns. He guides and He directs. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning with humble hearts, but with great encouragement through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we learn about the Tower of Babel and the way You dispersed people throughout the world as they went to their own nations and they covered the earth, Lord, You sent out a command, and yet they didn't follow. But yet Your people dispersed. Lord, we know that You're in control of everything that goes on in the world we live in today. Lord, You call the church to do the same thing. Disperse the good news. Be one, Lord, the church, the believers in Jesus Christ. So we are the church today. It doesn't matter if we're Reformed, or Catholic, Lord, or Presbyterian, or Lutheran. You see the church. And Lord, we are on mission today to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, may You bless us. May You continue to work in our lives. And may we step up to the challenge, Lord, that there's this one human race today. And may we see and be a part of that. In Jesus I pray. Amen.